Hello, friends. This is Cliff Knight from Equippers International. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We want to lift up Jesus and provide a place for you to learn more about Him and to grow in your relationship with Him. If you find the podcast helpful, feel free to share it with others. We believe it will be a source of blessing and encouragement, and you will be strengthened in your relationship with Jesus. Hello, welcome back to the podcast. We're in Romans chapter 12 in this episode. We're moving into what I call the practical, instructional part of the book. You see this rhythm in Paul's letters throughout the New Testament, where he has the first half of the book, or a large section of the book, will be what I would call an indicative section. It's kind of the objective truth section of the letter, where Paul will lay out some very significant truth-based things, and then he'll move into what I call the imperative part of the letter, or the instructive part of the letter, kind of the how to live it out on a practical level. And so I believe it's important that Paul does it that way, because he wants us first to operate from the perspective of truth and then apply the truth to our lives and work it out practically. So this is kind of the transition that we experience in Romans chapter 12. He introduces chapter 12 with the therefore. And like I've always said, when you see a therefore, you need to ask yourself, what is it there for? And really, apart from the what I call a parenthesis that he took in chapters 9, 10, and 11 to discuss Israel, really, chapter 12 flows right off the heels of chapter 8. So he ends chapter 8 on that very high note, based on everything that God has done. Then we can know for sure that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And then he says, therefore, as a result of all that I've shared with you, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And then we talked about that a couple of episodes ago. And then he moves into some practical instruction about what life as a Christian, as a child of God, being in the body of Christ looks like. And the first thing he takes up is how to function as a member of the body of Christ. And as we discussed in the previous couple of episodes, that functioning happens through gifting. That's how, as a member of the body of Christ, we perform a task, so to speak. Just like the members of our physical body have different individual, very unique, specialized tasks, our gifting, which comes through the grace of God and the measure of faith that's been given to us, we talked about that in the previous episodes, they define how we function. And then Paul gives us a list. We're going to look at that list just now in this episode. It's not the only list. In the previous episode or two, I mentioned two other places in Paul's letters, specifically 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14 and Ephesians chapter 4. Paul addresses gifting specifically, what's called the charismata. It is the grace giftings of God in the lives of believers so that they can function as members of the body. Now, we're not going to spin off and do a whole discussion on spiritual gifts. We're just going to stay within Paul's discussion here in Romans. But let it suffice to say, I don't believe that this is an exhaustive list. Obviously, it's not, because Paul adds other gifts in other areas of his letters. But I would say, just in general, some comments. The gifts that are covered in Romans seem to be what a lot of people call grace gifts, simply because in verse 6, that's what he says. He says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14, he doesn't mention grace necessarily more than he mentions the manifestation of the Spirit and how the Lord gives to each a manifestation as he desires. So there's a little nuance there. And then in Ephesians 4, it talks about Jesus giving gifts to men or to people. There's a little different nuance in each of these passages related to gifting. So here in Romans, Paul talks about different grace that's given to each member. And out of that context, he mentions these gifts. Now, there may be other gifts that come as a result of the grace operating in the life of the believer, but these are are the ones that we have. Now, what a lot of people believe, and I basically believe this as well, is these gifts are more of an operational default. What I mean by that is once you recognize the grace in your life in regards to these gifts, then you kind of default. It's a natural functioning that you move into in your gifting. Now, let's also point out that you don't necessarily have to be graced with any of these gifts. You could be gifted by the manifestation of the Spirit, like in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, and operate in your gifting in that way. Or you could manifest a gift operating in the measure of the gift that Christ gives you, according to Ephesians 4. So I'm not trying to make it complicated, but I do want to just outline kind of the nuances and differences in these gift passages. So here, Paul's talking about more of a operational grace that's given to believers so that they can function in those gifts. Now let's look at those gifts, starting there in the middle of verse 6. He says, if prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service, in his serving, or he who teaches, in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, it's interesting that Paul mentions these gifts. He mentions prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and mercy. So now just think about those seven gifts for a minute. Can you see any one of those gifts being something that you would see as your natural disposition, that you feel that you've been given a grace by God to show mercy, or grace by God to give, or grace by God to teach? For example, I experience an operational grace of God in my life to teach. That's why I do these podcasts. I'm exercising my gifting for the benefit of the body of Christ. I'm sure unbelievers could listen to my podcast. They may not receive much out of it because they're not spiritual people and they wouldn't really know what I'm talking about. But this is an example of how a teaching gift is for the edification and building up of the body of Christ. And so that's just an example. So you can begin to recognize these seven gifts and where maybe you or somebody else would fit in to one of those giftings and feel a natural inclination toward that gift. Now let's look how Paul qualifies each gift, because it is a unique thing that he does in this list. He doesn't just list the gifts. He lists how you operate in those gifts, or in what way do you exercise that gift. For prophecy, he says you operate in it according to your faith. And that makes sense, because when you prophesy, if prophecy is the process of someone speaking something from God, the mind or heart of God, into a situation or into another person's life, then they would have to have a lot of faith to believe that what they're saying is actually coming from God and not from themselves. So the prophetic gift, the grace of God in someone's life to operate in the prophetic, needs to be done according to the faith that they have. I've always said, when you start to speak as though you're speaking on behalf of God, you have to step out in faith, and you don't go any further in your speaking as though you are prophesying more than your faith allows. I know that may sound difficult to understand, but I've experienced when you step out in prophetic gifting and you experience the grace of God in your life to prophesy, you recognize where your faith begins and where your faith ends. When you understand how this dynamic works, it's actually a very beautiful process, and you don't move past where your faith is able to take you in the prophetic. In other words, you stop talking when you understand that you're moving out of faith into natural understanding. So that's just a very practical exhortation that Paul gives regarding prophecy. Now, regarding service, he just simply says, in your serving. Now, he does this for three of the gifts. He says, in your service, serving, in your teaching, teaching, in your exhorting, exhortation. Now, those three, he just basically says, as you serve, as you teach, and as you exhort, just do those things. Just stay focused. When you serve, just serve with joy in your heart. Just do what's on your heart to serve the body, serve other people, and just serve diligently. In your teaching, do the same thing. Just teach. Stay focused, stay committed to your teaching gift, and allow that gift to come out in the form of teaching. And in your gift of exhorting, have exhortation. In other words, build people up. Speak into their life positive things. Point them in the direction of the Lord. Exhort them. And Paul says, be diligent in these ways to just operate in your gift according to your gift. Now, he switches a little bit with the next one, and he says, for those who give, who have the grace on their lives to give, do it with liberality. Do it excessively. Do it without thinking about limit. Do it as the Lord leads, but do it with liberalness. In other words, don't limit the gift of giving through your life if you believe there's a grace on your life to do that. You know, I remember a conversation I had with someone in my life who has the gift of giving, and he was telling me over his life, he's quite old now, and he's given a lot to me and to a lot of other people. And he says, you know, Cliff, he says, if there's one thing that I would regret at this point in my life regarding the gift of giving that God's given me, is that I didn't give more. I never regret that I gave too much. And I think that's a beautiful testimony, and it just emphasizes and supports the truth that Paul's explaining here regarding the gift of giving. When the grace is on your life to give, give with liberality. And then he says, for those who lead. Now, let me just make a comment about this word lead. This word lead literally means to give aid, okay? It means to come alongside and to help someone along their journey. And it's not necessarily leadership in the kind of worldly, natural way we think of leadership. There is leadership in that way, but leadership on a spiritual gift is more along the lines of coming along and giving aid to other people in their walk with the Lord. And so that leadership can manifest in a lot of different ways, but it's not just running out front and trying to get everybody to follow you concept. And he tells those who lead to do it with diligence, to do it with an attitude that you're going to persevere, to come alongside people and help them along the way. So it's an exhortation to really be committed and be diligent about your leading. And then the last one, he says, when you show mercy, do it with cheerfulness. Now, this is something that I personally can't relate to because I don't have the grace gifting in my life to show mercy. I am learning to be a merciful person, but the gift of mercy is something altogether different. For example, I believe my wife, Stephanie, operates in a grace gifting of mercy. And I know a couple other mercy motivated people because of the grace on their lives to do that. And one thing that can happen practically in the life of a person that operates with the gift of mercy is that they can come up under a lot of burden for the people in the situations that they are feeling mercy for, if that makes sense. So this is why Paul exhorts those that have the grace on their life to show mercy in a gifted, operational way, to do it with cheerfulness in their hearts. It's very, very important that a person with the gift of mercy not get under and bear the burden of the person they're having mercy for. They need to do it with cheerfulness in their hearts, knowing that they can show mercy, show the heart of God to that person in their circumstance, but not take up an undue burden to carry. Those burdens belong to the Lord. But the gift of mercy to come alongside somebody in a time of need that really needs to be shown mercy is a beautiful thing. But the encouragement by Paul is to do it with cheerfulness in their hearts. So that's kind of the gift list, if you will, in Romans chapter 12. So just as a review, it's important that each believer understand the measure of faith that's been given to them and the grace of God on their lives to function in one of these gifts. Now, if you can't specifically identify one of these gifts and say, I know for sure that that's where the grace of God operates in my life, that's okay. There's other areas of giftingness to explore, but I believe that it's possible that many people will find some touch point in these gifts, and they will find that there's a grace on their life to operate in that gift in some measure. So continue to think about these things. Consider how you function as a member of the body of Christ and how God has grace gifted you to do that for your own identity in the body and for the benefit and blessing of others. So be strong and courageous and love Jesus more.